So I looked over this passage from Romans this past week. At first, there were some things there that I saw, and I call it don't blame God, because so many times we do blame God, especially even when we're followers of Christ. But as I looked over this, I saw it as so much more than that, and saw it as the benefits of being born again. We talked last week about Jesus, or about Nicodemus coming to Jesus, about Jesus saying that you needed to be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven, and what that meant to be born again. And we sometimes say, well, what's the importance of being born again? Hopefully we're going to learn about that today. A few months ago, last fall, I took my son down to the hunting club where we belong, or to the shooting club, and we were shooting clay targets, shooting trap, where the machine throws the clay targets down in the air. And we went down there one particular day, and he had said to me that he wanted to shoot this certain gauge of shotgun because it didn't tick as much. So as we got there and got ready to shoot, we got all set up, and he got all ready. And of course, he was scared. It was the first time he ever shot a shotgun, and he knew the gun was going to kick. As I threw the clay target out in the air and he shot at it, it gave him quite a wallop. And of course, I could see the fear in his eyes and the uncertainty because it had kicked him so hard, he didn't really know what to expect. And I said to him, well, now when you shoot, the next time you'll know exactly what to expect. And lo and behold, as he kicked the shell out and landed on the ground, and he looked at it, and he picked it up, and he said, Dad, why did you put that shell in the gun? That was an express load. And if you don't know anything about it, the loads and shotgun shells, an express load is a more high-powered shotgun shell meant to shoot long distances, and it gives a bigger kick when you shoot it. He didn't know that the shell was in the gun, because I knew that if he did, he would absolutely say, no, I'm not going to shoot the gun. But what it did, it gave him a confidence the next time around that when we shot with shells that were not quite so powerful, he would look around at me and say, that's not so bad. That's not as bad. I can handle that. And in the same way, God allows things to happen in our lives so that we can gain a certain strength and confidence that the next time around, we're going to be able to deal with it a whole lot better. A lot of people say in times of trouble in their lives, why did God allow this to happen? And sometimes they say, why did God do this to me? When in fact, God didn't do it. And we tend to blame God a lot of times in our lives. I want to go back a little bit and start with Nicodemus going to Jesus, talking about being born again by faith. Jesus used the example as Moses with the snake on the stick, lifted it up in the desert and said, everybody who believes that they'll be healed if they look at this, when they look at this, they'll be healed. In the same way, Jesus is going to be lifted up, and everyone that looks at him and has faith in his atoning work on the cross will be saved and have eternal life. They'll be a new creature. They'll be born into the family of God. They'll be children of God. And the Bible teaches us they are adopted into God's family. Now, being adopted into God's family means two things. It means two things to the believer and to the unbeliever. It means two things. It means we have an assurance that we will one day be in His presence forever. For the believer, that's our assurance. For the unbeliever, they may doubt that. But it still means the same thing. That when we're adopted into God's family, we have assurance that we will one day be in His presence forever. The second thing is, we can know that during our lives right now, we have His divine protection. Who is God going to protect every day? He's going to protect His children, right? Those that are adopted into His family are the ones He's going to protect. We say, well, what about the rest of the people? Well, what about the rest of the people? God allows things to happen to them to bring them to Him so that He may adopt them into His family by faith. Paul speaks about this to the believers in Rome in chapter 5 today. He says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Paul has been talking about how we are saved by faith in Jesus Christ. That salvation is for the Jew and the Gentile alike, for all people. But only those who believe by faith will enter the kingdom of God. And he says, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. I want to talk about what that means a little bit. He says, since we've been justified through faith, this word justification or being justified has a legal understanding to it. When somebody's justified, they're rendered innocent. And you see, when we have faith in Jesus Christ, God renders us innocent from our transgressions and sins. In other words, we are in good standing with God because of our faith in Jesus Christ. And since we've been justified and rendered innocent, we have a peace with God through Jesus Christ. But I want to talk about what he's really saying here. We can say, well, I know Jesus, and Jesus is my peace, and I have a sense of calm about me. But that's not what he's talking about. When you see what Paul was really saying here, that we have peace with God, that word peace implies a good standing in a way that someone becomes our ally. The best example I can use is you have two sides that are warring against each other. Okay? And the only way that they can become allies is to have peace. And what he's saying, since we've been justified and rendered innocent through faith in Jesus Christ, God has become our ally. We are allied with God. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our joy is in the hope that we'll share in the eternal glory with God, who is now our ally. He says we've gained an access by faith into this grace, and we now stand in this state of grace. We stand in a state of grace. We're in good standing now because we become allied with God through faith in Jesus Christ. You see, peace is not a subjective feeling in the situation that Paul's teaching. Peace is a secure position or a state of being that there will be no more hostility between us and God. That's what he's talking about. In Galatians, Paul wrote to the Galatians, he says that you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. You're sons of God. He went on to say, because you are sons, God sent a spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, you are now a son, and since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. In other words, what happens through faith in Jesus Christ, we become heirs. We inherit like the son did in the Jewish context of that day. We become God's children and heirs of something. And that something is eternal life, because God has adopted us into his family. Who is God going to give the inheritance to? Not his enemies, not those who reject him, but his children who have received his plan of salvation by faith. And you see, that's part of the purpose of Jesus dying on the cross, because beforehand, before we were believers in Christ Jesus, we were enemies of God. We were lifeless. We were powerless, as he's going to go on to say here in a minute. We were dead in our sins and trespasses. But when Jesus died on the cross, through faith in Jesus, we become allied again to God. We receive life, and we receive a certain power, a divine power of the Holy Spirit in us. This is what Paul was talking about when he wrote to the Romans. He says, we stand in a state of grace now, in this position, this good standing with God. And in this good standing, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. As we stand in good standing with God, allied with God, we now have a certain hope in which we rejoice. And that's in the hope that we're going to experience the glory of God someday. Do you know what that word for rejoice, that word rejoice really means in the Greek context? It means that we have a boasting whereby we're vaulted up in the air. In other words, using it in our common English that we know today, we jump for joy because we know someday we're going to share in the glory of God in eternity. That's what he's saying. Because we are justified and rendered innocent, We're allied with God. We jump for joy knowing that someday we're going to be with God in glory. And but he says not only that, but he said we also jump for joy in our sufferings now because there's benefit in our suffering. We don't say, God, why are you allowing this to happen? I'm a Christian. I follow you. I believe in your Son. I'm a follower of Jesus. It was supposed to be smooth sailing. No, it isn't. Because you see, when we're born again, we're babies that need to grow up. And what God does is good things in our lives through the suffering. We rejoice in our sufferings because our suffering produces perseverance or endurance. In other words, we're tried and we stand the test. And perseverance produces character. And character, hope. Now I want to ask you something. If God is producing something good in us through our sufferings, through the things you go through every single day, God is producing something good. We call that sanctification. That's the big technical term. Once you're born again, God is molding you and helping you grow. He's sanctifying you to be a certain character. And who do you suppose that character is? Jesus Christ. He's trying to conform you into the conformity of His Son so that the whole world sees the family of God as a family of God's sons, of Christ. And this hope that we have doesn't disappoint us because the Holy Spirit has been poured out into our hearts. And the reason the Holy Spirit's been poured into our hearts is because we can't do it ourselves. We're babies. We need something stronger, a greater power, a greater presence in our lives to help us grow and to mold us. And that power is the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit that comes to live in our hearts through faith in Jesus Christ. You see, our position as followers of Jesus Christ is a position of grace, a position of peace, a position that is secure. We say, well, then why does God allow things to happen to us? Because our practice needs to be worked on a little bit. We need to be sanctified. We need to be set apart and made holy because that's what sanctify means. We need to conform to Christ or grow in grace. Bluntly put, we're born again in Christ Jesus. And we need to grow up in Christ Jesus to be mature. We grow through the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. And he says, you see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, God died for the ungodly. Christ died for the ungodly. At just the right time when we were still powerless. You know, a dead person's powerless. A dead person has absolutely no power. And the Bible tells us we were dead in our sins and trespasses. But Paul says at just the right time when we were powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. That means we didn't have to be somebody or something in order for Christ to die for us. We were dead. We were powerless. We were ungodly. And he says, well, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though somebody for a good man might possibly dare to die. But I want to tell you this, Paul says, God demonstrated how much He loves you in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, while we were still sinners, while we were still ungodly, while we were still powerless, dead in our sins and trespasses, Christ died for us because God wants to adopt us into His family. You and you and you and you and me. Now that's pretty special, isn't it? Christianity is the only religion where you are promised any kind of eternity by faith. Every other religion says you get there, you get the blessings, you get the virgins, you get all this in eternity through works. My question is, how do you ever know if you've done the right works, and how do you ever know if you've done enough works? Because that belief system and that understanding is based on relativism. What's good for you is not good for me, so I'm going to do it this way. Yeah, what that means for you, that doesn't mean for me because I'm different than you. In Christianity, we have one way, one truth. And that truth is founded in God because God is truth and God is eternal. All other things are false. Everything has to lead to one place or it's not truth. All right? And that one place is is God, because God is eternal. He always was, He is, and He always will be. And He's saying that God did this when you were sinners, when I was a sinner, when I was powerless. And He says, now since we've been justified by His blood, since we've been rendered innocent, and He took us in, how much more are we going to be saved from God's wrath through Him, through Christ? You know, the concept a lot of people have is that when I'm a Christian and I'm going along in life and I backslide, God's just standing there with a lightning bolt ready to go. You backslid. You did something wrong. Here, take that. Take that. That's not the way God works. God says, all right, go ahead. You want to do it that way? You go ahead. I'm right here. My arms are wide open. You want to fall off the path? You go ahead. I'm right here. My arms are wide open. And when we cry out to God, because the Holy Spirit's inside us saying, don't do this, Mike. Don't do this, Mike. My fleshly desire says this is going to feel good, taste good, and look good. I got to do it. And the Holy Spirit's saying, don't do it. Don't do it. I choose my way. I fall. And the Holy Spirit's saying, Mike, you've got to repent now. And I say, God, help me. Save me. I've fallen. I've done the wrong thing. And God comes down. He goes, wow. And He takes me in His loving arms again and carries me along because I'm His. I'm secure in His grace, because I'm born again. I'm no longer what I was. I'm a new creation, and I belong to God. Paul says, if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more are we going to be reconciled now and saved through His life? You see, salvation is a lifelong process. It's a process of growing and sanctification, conforming to the likeness of Christ. It's not something we do once and we put a trophy on the shelf and say, I'm saved, I'm good to go. It's not like that. It's a relationship that we enter into with our ally, who's God, whom we know that in this life, no matter what happens to me, I have a greater ally that's working in my stead, greater than all of creation, that can come to my rescue. That's why I want God as my ally. My treasures are in heaven, not here on earth. I don't accept the Lord for now. I accept the Lord for eternity. But the benefits we know now is the presence of Almighty God in our lives. I remember a young man, I'll tell you just one more story and then we're done. I remember a young man that I knew a few years ago. This young man had just become a Christian. He was part of our youth group where we were, and he had just become a Christian. And on the first day of school, he came out of school, he rode his motorcycle, and he came out of school, and it was a nice warm day. And he wore his leather jacket, and he thought, I'm not going to put my jacket on, it's warm. But then he thought, no, maybe I better. He looked at his helmet, and he thought, I'm not going to wear my helmet, but he did. He ended up underneath a pickup truck before he got home that day. He was in the hospital for so long. And I said to the kids, when we all got back together, I want you to think of something, because they were struggling about how God would let something like that happen. It brought that group so close together, focused on God, praying for one another. And I said to them, you guys got to understand, God didn't wait for that to happen. God was there the moment the motorcycle slid, the moment the truck hit the boy. God was there in the presence of that situation, guiding and guarding. Had the boy have died, God would have taken that boy into His arms eternally. But the boy lived to the testimony of Almighty God. You see, previously, pre-birth, we were enemies of God. We were powerless. We were ungodly. You know, people say to me, well, what about the people that aren't Christians? I know I'm pretty conservative in my theology and my beliefs. But I know one thing. My Bible tells me that eternal life is in Jesus Christ. My Bible tells me that I have the Holy Spirit inside me, dictating how I live, controlling and conquering in my life, giving me strength day in and day out, saving me day in and day out. My Bible tells me that I have an innocence and stand in a position of grace Now, if my father adopted me into his family, how's he going to take care of me? He's going to take care of me, isn't he? He's going to take care of me. And that's plain and simple, that no other religion could claim. We're reconciled. We're not on our own. We're changed mutually. We're allied to God. We're changed in our relationship. And we're adopted. We're saved. We're delivered. And we're protected. It means so much more than just the title Christian. It means that God's adopted me, that I'm his friend, that he's my ally. And when I'm at war in my physical life with all the fleshly desires that come into my life every single day, across the computer screen, across the telephone, across the television, in my workplace, I know that I have a greater power in my life, allied with me, fighting the battle. And I know that the victory is already won. We have peace and joy because we're justified through faith, through Jesus Christ. And we've gained access by faith into his grace, and in which we now stand. I want to tell you folks this week, jump for joy. Jump for joy in your suffering, that nothing is going to take you away from your God. Paul says that nothing in this life can separate us from God's great love in Jesus Christ. If that doesn't give us reason to jump for joy, I don't know what does. Let's pray. Lord God, we do thank you for your great power, your Holy Spirit, that lives in our lives every single day. We thank you for this grace, this position of grace that we stand in, that being born again means so much more than just a trophy to claim or a title to claim, that we actually have an ally with you, that we're no longer powerless, we're no longer sinners, we are no longer your enemies, but we are your friend. You will come to our aid. I pray, Lord, that you come to our aid this week when we're tempted by the enemy, that God would come and defeat the enemy, and that we might jump for joy. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to close this morning by turning to 562. Let's stand together and sing. Five hundred and sixty-two.